Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
On this Labor Day.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Labor Day of prayer, and we will be praying all week.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Hallelujah. Our do not fear scripture for the day is from Isaiah 43:5. 43:5, it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west."
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Good word. Good word. Our call today, we're going to talk about seven reasons fear destroys the anointing. Always remember this. If nothing else from this call, get this. Fear is the devil's anointing. In fact, won't you write this statement where you can see it, remember it, believe it, confess it until it's manifested in your life. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke it because it has no place in Maya's life. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke it because it has no place in Debbie's life. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke it because it has no place
in Dave's life.
In Dave's life. That's right. Hallelujah. Fear, one more. Fear is the devil's anointing, but I rebuke it because it has no place in Sonia's life.
Amen.
Put your name in it. Wish we could do everybody on this day, but we got a lot more people to pray for. Pray for our first person last night.
That's it. We go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Make no mistake about it. The enemy will continually try to bring fear into your mental thought process. Have you ever known anyone who was a prisoner of war? I've had the honor of getting to know some brave men who were taken captive by the enemy and endured the horrors of being a prisoner of war. These men will tell you that the enemy creates an environment for brainwashing. The enemy tries to break down their resistance by feeding them a constant diet of hopelessness and fear. The enemy controls the interrogation process with just one objective: break the captive's will to live so they will abandon their sense of right and wrong. The devil would like nothing better than to make you a mental prisoner of war. He tries to create an atmosphere of panic and uncertainty, then he will bring negative thoughts into your mind, trying to make you think you have no way of escape. He wants to replace your faith with fear, your determination with his doubt, your past with his future for you. The enemy of your success, your anointing, wants fear in your life, and he understands that you were born with two fears, falling and loud noises. All other fears are acquired. Often deeply embedded within us, fear results from past failures, from a lack of confidence bred unknowingly by our parents or relatives, and it's enforced by society's general negative, short-sighted thinking. Your loving Heavenly Father understands the strategies of the enemy. He knows if the enemy has you living in fear, then he can destroy the anointing on your life.
However, God wants us to understand that fear is not from him. Hallelujah. And we know that. Question: how many times does God tell us something that for us to get it? We've been doing it, and we're going to continue to do it every day for 365 days of this year. Once is just not enough. If you've ever had children, you want to teach them how to brush their teeth, I can tell you it's brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, until it becomes a habit. So it's fair to say that if God wants to really get something in it, into us, that he does say it more than one time. In the King James Version of the Bible, we're told 9 times that we should be born again. So it's, fairly certain that God wants us to be born again. It's significant and obviously important. After all, he paid the ultimate price by sending his only son, that we should not perish but have everlasting life by being born again. Would it surprise you to know that just the, in the King James Version, that fear not is, we were told 63 times in those words, fear not. But the point we're trying to make is this. God wants to be sure that the devil, I mean, once we're born again, that's the beginning. God wants to be sure that the devil has no inroads into our house. So if we need to look at some of the verses that tell us how the enemy works. First, God wants us to eliminate all fear of failure. Joshua 8:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up." Hallelujah. Second, God wants us to know that he is our salvation so that we don't have any reason to be fearful or afraid. I love Psalm 27:1 among so many wonderful scriptures. But Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Just makes you want to shout on this marvelous Monday morning.
Amen.
Third, God doesn't want us worried or fearful about what may happen tomorrow. Romans 8:32 says this, New Living Translation, "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." Can you feel it? Are you seeing it? "Neither the fears for today or the worries about tomorrow can keep God from loving us. His promises for you, his anointing on you, I mean, are manifesting in your life. Why? Because he is faithful to perform and to do all he's promised us, and we just need to open our arms and receive it. Think about that.
Amen.
You know, I think it's also important that Matthew 6:34, Message Bible, be important to us. It says this, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now."
Right now.
"And don't get worked." I love that. I like that little throw in. Right now. Right now. "And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. You know, he's not the great I was or the great I will be. He is the great I am. He is right here with us at this very moment. And as we go into the next moment, he'll be right there too." Is that wonderful, honey?
That's wonderful, baby.
It is.
Good. Encouraging.
It is.
Fourth, God is your helper, so there's no need to fear.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 13:5-6, Classic Amplified. "So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper.
Yes, he is.
I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?"
Woo!
Hallelujah.
That is so good.
It is. Fifth, fear will flee when God takes you by the hand.
Think of that.
Isaiah 41:9-10. 41:9-10, Message Bible. "Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you."
Mm-mm. Sixth, God is fighting against your enemies with you, so you have no reason to fear. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, Message Bible says, "In a few minutes, you're going to do battle with your enemies. Don't waver in resolve. Don't fear. Don't hesitate. Don't panic. God, your God." He makes it personal here. Listen to this. "God, your God, is right there with you, fighting with you against your enemies, fighting to win." Exodus 23:22. We like to quote this one too. Exodus 23:22 says, "But if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice," he goes on to say, "I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries."
Yes.
Romans 8:31. There's so many great scriptures. I love this too. Classic Amplified Bible. Woo! Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, yes, who can be against us?
Nobody.
Who can be our foe if God is on our side?
Yes.
And Psalm 118:6. Psalm 118:6, Message Bible. God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? And Hebrews 13:6, are we giving you enough ammunition for today? Boom, boom. This will last you a week. Hebrews 13:6, but do tune in tomorrow. And the Classic Amplified says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, here it is again, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?
Seventh, you have no reason to be afraid because of the anointing that's living within you.
Ooh.
You have the Holy Spirit teaching you how to manifest the anointing in your daily life. John 14:26-27.
John 14:26-27.
And the Amplified Bible says, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I've told you.
Think of that.
Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give, but do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled.
Wow.
God not only teaches us, but he's embedded Christ's anointing deeply within us.
Amen.
1 John 2:26, Message Bible. I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they're no match for what's deeply embedded within you. Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and him. Uncontaminated by a single lie, live deeply in what you were taught.
Mm.
We trust that you fully comprehend what all these scriptures are saying to you. You have the anointing of Christ deep inside of you. The verse also says, live deeply in what you were taught. One more thing. You cannot coexist with sin. Neither can fear and the anointing live in the same house. The way you think, speak, and act will either reflect fear or your anointing, but not both.
Mm-mm.
And we're praying for it to be the anointing.
Stir up and rise up in you. And you know where it says, it doesn't say Jesus, it says the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and he's living in you, there is freedom. So we need to walk in that freedom.
One more thing.
Yes.
Today, we've already started praying for people on this Labor Day, 29th year we've done it. We pray for people to get a job, a better job, an anointing. An anointing for their work, yes. But to get raises, bonuses, benefits.
Yep. That's right.
If they have their own business, increase sales. Or whatever they need,
that's
we're going to pray for.
Whatever you need.
Specifically.
That's right.
So go to haroldherring.com/Labor Day. haroldherring.com/Labor Day. And give us the things that we need to pray for you.
Amen.
And then ask God if he'd have you sow a seed. Anyhow, we're going to be doing that today, praying for you. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.